Do you really want to know God's will for your life? Are you facing some decision and you want to know what God's will is in that situation? Or maybe you made a decision some time ago and you find yourself wondering if what you did was God's will. You know, I've heard there's a kind of a target that I'm supposed to hit. The bullseye in the middle is God's perfect will. This is what God really wants. And then the circle around the bullseye is God's acceptable will. It's stuff he doesn't really prefer, but he's willing to put up with it. He allows it. And then off the target entirely, you would be out of God's will. This is sin. It's like every decision I make is like throwing a dart at this target. Everything in my life fits somewhere on this target. Except in my own specific case, there would be a lot of darts stuck in the wall and the door frame and the furniture. Okay, so then what's in the bullseye? That's the question. What is God's perfect will? Well, I can look in the Bible. There's some specific information in there. The Bible's pretty explicit about fornication, gossip, murder. These would not be in the bullseye. I could consult with authority figures in my life, my pastor, my parents, my teachers. Some have suggested that I should also look at circumstances to determine God's perfect will. They talk about God opening doors and closing doors. And some also ask, well, what does your heart say? They say, I need to listen for the still small voice.
Be wary. I sense a disturbance in the force. Remember, concentrate on the moment. Feel. Don't think.
Feel, don't think. And then maybe you've also heard about people randomly opening a Bible and expecting God to show them the answer right from whatever page of Scripture they happen to land on. You know, as I was preparing this talk, I literally tried this. I took my Bible and I looked out the window while I opened it and plunked my finger down on the open page. And you know what? It worked. I got very clear instructions from God. My finger landed in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 8. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. No way. I'm out. And then I've heard some people talk about determining God's will by laying out a fleece. This is a reference to a guy named Gideon, not the guy who goes around putting Bibles in hotel rooms. This is the original Gideon. He was an actual person in history. You can read about him in the Old Testament book of Judges, starting in chapter 6. God wanted him to do some stuff that Gideon considered to be pretty dangerous. And even though God assured him that he was going to be okay, Gideon was nervous. So Gideon said to God, look, I'll take this wool fleece and I'll leave it out on the ground overnight. If I check back tomorrow morning and the morning dew has settled only on the fleece, but the ground all around it is dry, then I'll know you're telling me the truth. And actually, God did him one better. The next morning, the ground was all dry, and Gideon was able to squeeze an entire bowl full of water out of that fleece. But even then, Gideon didn't trust God to be telling the truth. So he asked God for one more sign. Same experiment, only backwards. Make the fleece dry and the ground wet, which God did. And this story became so famous over time that we now commonly refer to laying out a fleece, or we use the term giving God a fleece. What we forget, however, is that God never congratulated Gideon for this clever way of figuring out God's will. Jesus actually said the opposite when he was dealing with the guy that we call Doubting Thomas. He said the ones who are really blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. 1 Corinthians 5 says, walk by faith, not by sight. So it then is putting out a fleece the way to determine God's will for my life? In most cases, probably not. Then there's one more method that I can think of that people have used down through human history for figuring out what's in the bullseye. And that would be casting lots. Like rolling the dice and letting the numbers that turn up be your guide. You know, there were actually a number of situations in ancient history where this approach was considered appropriate. People of God cast lots in Old Testament times to decide property issues and scheduling issues and so forth. They didn't use dice like gamblers do today. They used something called Urim and Thummim. We don't have any historical record of what these looked like, but we do understand from history that the Urim and Thummim were worn on the breastplate of the high priest. Like after Judas betrayed Jesus, the remaining disciples decided that they should replace him, and they narrowed it down to two guys, and then, yep, they cast lots to choose between the two. So, should I be deciding God's will for my life by rolling some dice? You know, come to think of it, even rolling a pair of dice doesn't take it totally out of my hands. Using two dice, there are 36 possible combinations, but not all the totals have the same probability. It's easier to get a 7 than any other total because there are 6 different ways to get a 7. It's harder to get a 2 or a 12 than any other total because there's only one way to get a 2 or a 12. So if you're asking God to show you which woman to ask out on a date next weekend, I suggest you assign the number 7 to the cutest one. How do we know what stuff is included in the bullseye under the heading of God's perfect will? Do I need to know God's will on the question of whom to marry, but not on the question of which pants to pull on tomorrow morning? Or is it only the big stuff? Or is it only moral issues? I don't know. What food to eat at dinner may not seem like a moral issue. It may seem like small stuff. But then if I'm always overeating or eating junk food, then wouldn't I be out of God's will to have that third helping of mashed potatoes or decide to drive through Burger King yet again? There is a way to sort out all this confusion. To begin with, we need to define our terms. A lot of people talk about God's will and God's plan as if they're the same thing, but they're not. Now, you can use different terms to describe these two entities, and that's fine, but what I'm saying here is that there are two distinct ideas here that we need to understand separately. What I'll call God's will is what God wants. This is His desire. It's the longing of His heart. But then there's God's plan. God's plan is what He has decided will happen. It's anything that God has determined will occur in the future. These are very different things. Here's an example. God clearly wants all mankind to be saved, to accept the sacrifice of Christ and become cleansed spiritually and enter into a relationship with God. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this. This is His will. It's the longing of His heart. But He's also very clear in saying that it won't happen. Not everybody's going to do what God wants in this regard. Some are going to say no to salvation, no to Christ's sacrifice, no to spiritual cleansing, no to a relationship with God. God knows this. He sees it coming. Matthew 7 shows us this. And He has planned accordingly. In other words, it's all part of His plan. It's not in His will, but it's in His plan. Or look at living by God's design for our lives, what we might call living a godly life. It's clear that God wants this for us. It's best for us. This is His will. It's the longing of His heart. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us so. But not everybody goes there. In fact, nobody goes there entirely. 1 John 1 makes this clear. And yet God's still working all of my errors around to somehow produce the ultimate best. That's what He says in Romans 8:28. His plan doesn't change. I don't wreck God's plan. I can't. God says in Isaiah 46:10, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Even when I contradict God's will, even when I break God's heart, His plan stands. So when do I know God's plan? Afterwards. I can tell you what God's plan for yesterday was, because we can see what God allowed and what He didn't. I know that a bunch of stuff happened yesterday that broke God's heart. It was outside of His will, and yet it happened. And God wasn't surprised a bit when it happened. He saw it coming, and He allowed for it. He made it part of His plan. You know, as human beings, we're hindsight specialists. We're not foresight specialists. Sure, once in a while, God gives us a glimpse into the future. This is what we call prophecy. But even this is murky. It's like there's a veil over the future. Our perception of it is uncertain. The way 1 Corinthians 13:12 puts it is, we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. God knows that our meager human brains couldn't process the entire future. We couldn't handle that much information. We would just melt down. So God says, don't go there. Don't try to predict the future. Fortune telling, avoid it. To put it in our newly defined terms, we would say, don't try to discern God's plan. Instead, try to discern God's will, God's desire, the longing of His heart. Over and over the scriptures urge us to follow God's desire, to seek God's pleasure. Because this is how we're designed to thrive. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. So following His desire makes good sense. So, now, I'm facing my decision. I have to choose somebody to marry, or move to a different city, or decide to take a different job, or join a different church, or whatever. My tendency is to want to know the future. You know, is this going to be good? Will it be productive? Will it be fun? Or will it be bad and problematic and painful? But I can't read the future. Or according to our newly defined terms, I can't know God's plan in advance. I can only know God's plan after the fact. I'm wasting my time getting a headache over this question because God's not going to show me the future. I need to be seeking something other than God's plan. I need to be seeking God's desire, God's heart. What is God's desire? This is a way different question. Now when I look at the choice I'm facing, I have some tools. For one thing, I can turn to the Scriptures and learn a lot about the longing of God's heart. But of course, even the Bible won't automatically answer all of my questions. It doesn't talk about my specific situation. And besides that, I have limited understanding. So I can't automatically apply stuff in the Bible perfectly to my situation. Any other tools available to me for discovering God's desire? Well, sometimes I hear people say, God spoke to them. God told me to do this or that. What's up with that? Maybe I can know God's desire by hearing directly from Him. How can I know if it's God speaking to me? I can give you a very, very clear and straightforward answer to this question. If it's God speaking to you, you will know. There will be no question in your mind. If God decides that you're facing a decision in which He wants to orchestrate a specific outcome, His intervention in your decision-making process will absolutely get your attention. Look what happened to Paul the Apostle. He's riding along on the road to Damascus, and blam! God knocks him off his feet and blinds him and talks to him in an audible voice. There was no question in Paul's mind that this was God. Or look what happened to Moses. Comes upon a bush that burns and burns but doesn't burn up. And he hears a voice. No question. That's God. The one time God spoke to somebody and they weren't sure who it was, He kept talking until they got it. And that was Samuel. Samuel was, at the time, just a little boy, so I guess we can cut him some slack. Bottom line, I never have to fear that God is speaking to me and I've somehow missed it. When God speaks, I'll listen whether I like it or not. If I'm wondering whether God is telling me something, then He ain't. So, how can I choose within God's perfect will? Here's the answer. There's no such thing. If I say I'm in God's perfect will, I'm fooling myself. If I say I'm doing God's perfect will, I'm deceiving myself. I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to achieve perfection. You can't choose the perfect husband because there is no perfect husband. Just ask any wife. There's no certain person who, if you find them, that's the perfect marriage partner for you. There is no perfect job to take, no certain perfect church to join, no certain perfect location to locate in. There's no certain perfect choice to make where you're in God's perfect will, and if you choose otherwise, you're in His acceptable will or out of His will. Here's what God says in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now look at what this really says. If I delight myself in the Lord, I'm looking for what He desires. I acknowledge that what God desires will be the best for me. I believe Him to be telling me the truth when He says that He's going to give me His best. If I really get this, I relax. I enjoy life. I experience a life of delight. And then the second part of the statement says, if I'm living this way, then God is the one giving me my desires. In other words, God is saying, Doug, trust me as your source, and I'll be the one giving you the desires you're feeling. This means I can relax in my decision situation and make my choice and trust God to take care of me and make something good out of it. I need to understand that God does not want to be my slave master. He wants to be my father. He doesn't want me to function as his slave. He wants me to function as his son. The goal of a parent is not to produce a child who can't make decisions for himself. If my child's 25 years old and every evening my phone rings and that young adult is running down a list of the day's decisions for dad to check off on, I haven't succeeded as a father. You know, dad, the big chair in my living room is wearing through on the arms. I'm thinking about either reupholstering or maybe getting a slipcover or just getting a new chair. But if I get a different chair, should I buy something new or go for used? And how reliable do you think it'll be to buy one on eBay? I'm not really sure about my budget. What can I afford? I've created a helpless or paranoid or at the very least dysfunctional young adult. The idea of parenting that child was supposed to be over the course of 18 years or so to help him come to understand the desires of my heart for him, to help him come to understand what was best for him, to give him the confidence to make decisions for himself and respond to adversity in mature ways. Well, this is how God parents us too. In fact, Philippians 2 tells me that God will give me both the desire and the power to do his will. But does God intend to designate a specific person for you to marry? Probably not. As you delight in him, he will give you a heart's desire for someone who can turn out to be pretty enriching to spend your life with. Does God intend to manipulate you into selecting a certain car to drive or a certain job to accept or a certain pair of socks to wear tomorrow? Probably not. If he has a strong desire for the Argyle socks over the striped socks, he can very easily wake you up in the middle of the night and speak to you in an audible voice. If it's crucial for you to choose the job in Houston over the job in Salt Lake, he can very easily make it crystal clear to you. But if he's not doing that, then you're free. Free to choose. Free to enjoy the decision-making process. You're free to make a list of pros and cons if that's how you decide stuff best. Or you're free to ask your friends and family and have long conversations about it if that's how you decide stuff best. Or you're free to flip a coin if that's what you want. Free to enjoy life. To walk with God means being a responsible person. I can make decisions and I can take responsibility for them. I won't always choose in a way that makes life easy or pleasant or profitable, but I can make my choices with a certain sense of peace, because I know that God is working behind the scenes in everything. How a situation plays out is not God's fault. I made my choice. There are consequences. That's life. But being free to choose makes me human. It's what makes me alive. And besides that, I love knowing that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. What's God's plan for my life? Don't know. Can't tell what it is till after it's over. But it's going to be good. What's God's will for my life? Oh, that I would love him and love people. Everything else is just details. Let me pray for you. God, help us to get free of our sense of panic and anxiety about understanding your plan. Help us just to rest and enjoy your will, the longing of your heart that we would love you and love each other. Amen.